to understand what is right meditation. A lot of people have asked me about meditation, a lot of people have talked to me about meditation. And tonight I'm going to try and show you what meditation is. It is not what you think it is, but we will see as we progress and you will understand the full meaning of meditation. For whosoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. In other words, it means that he who seeks to save his life in the relative will lose it in the relative, but he who loses his life in the whole, that is, in the completeness of everything, will find it and retain it. Now, in fact, there is often a sense of obligation to one another. That is a stupid thing, because a sense of obligation to one another means separation. And if you understand what separation means, then you will know that an obligation to one another is stupid, because it means separation, and separation is an illusion. There's no such thing as separation between one and another, because we are all existing in one universe. We're all existing in one substance. We're all existing in one God, and that one God existing in every human being. Therefore, in fact, there is no separation between anyone. If there is a sense of obligation to another, you are not free. Is that not so? If you feel a sensation to someone, you're not free. There is no oneness. You have lost your communion with your neighbor. If you treat your neighbor in such a way, then you will know that that is your relationship to God. Your relationship to God is how you treat your neighbor, because God is your nearest neighbor, and God is in your nearest neighbor. And if you treat your neighbor like a piece of furniture, that is your relationship to God. People will say, I am a child of God, but to treat their neighbor in such a way as they would never think of treating their animals. So you see, the whole thing is boiled down to this, your obligation. If you are obligated to anyone, you are not free. Do you feel obligated by receiving gifts from another? Do you feel that you have lost your independence? If this is so, then you do not understand. You have bound yourself. You have conditioned yourself by the thoughts you hold. So you become your thought. And when you become your thought, you are lost in the thought which is conditioning you. You are the creator of your thought. Your thought is a relative thing. But that which creates that thought is not a relative thing, it's a reality. But you cannot find your reality outside yourself. And your reality is not an idea of yourself, nor is it an image of yourself, but it is an awareness of self. Awareness of that self that is behind every other self. Because the self, the personal self, is an illusion. And it's the personal self that causes all the trouble in the world today. And the personal self is always seeking everything. And it is the personal self that is always wanting things. And it is the personal self that is always obligated to another. Therefore, the personal self is always bound by its own actions and reactions. And not until you understand the self can you free the self. Giving is divine, receiving is also divine when you come to the realization that there is no difference between the giver and the receiver. It is when there is this difference, this separation, that there is dependence. If there is dependence, there is no freedom. If you're dependent upon another individual, there can be no freedom. Your dependence must be complete only on one, that which is eternal and ever-present. Then you can say, I of myself am nothing, it's the Spirit of the Father within me that doeth these things. When you realize that the other is yourself, you will see beyond the self into the oneness of everything. Then only is there freedom. Freedom from sickness, freedom from want, freedom from separation is obtained when all your conditioning is understood. You condition yourself by your education from the time you're born. Your parents begin to condition you. Your society begins to condition you. Your religion conditions you. Your dogma conditions you. Your work conditions you. Your education conditions you. You are conditioned by your thought. And not until such time as you realize how you are conditioned can you free yourself from your conditioning. Now comes the great question of meditation. Of what is right meditation? To know how to meditate is a very complex problem. To follow any system, whether it be of the East or the West, is not meditation. Because if you follow a system, you are conditioning yourself by that system. You are forcing your mind into a groove, and there can be no freedom when the mind is forced into a particular groove. You'll rightly see that to follow a system is merely to shape your mind to a particular pattern, to drive it along a particular groove. If you perceive it ardently enough, you'll produce the results the system guarantees, yet this is not meditation. Meditation is a freeing of the self from all its conditioning. And only in your freedom can you find that which is beyond the mind. That which is beyond the mind is reality. What is in your mind is not real. It is what you have learned from books. It is what you are from your memory, your hopes, your desires, and your various concoctions. That's what's in your mind. And that what's in your mind is conditioning you. But that which is beyond mind cannot be conditioned because it's beyond your mind. And it's only in that split second can you realize that which is real. You can't create an image of it. If you do, it is not that. It's an image. If you create an idea of it, it is not there, it's an idea of it. You may call it what you like, any word you wish to convey this meaning of this thing, but it's not that thing. The word thunder is not thunder. The word water is not water. The idea of water is not water. The idea of truth is not truth. The idea of God is not God. But when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you can understand those words, then you will find the truth that is beyond the self. I of myself am nothing. It's the Spirit of the Father within me that speaketh these words. If you understand that, also you will find that which is beyond mind, which is yourself. God is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. Omnipotent, all power. Omniscient, all knowledge. Omnipresent, present everywhere. There's nowhere where he is not. Under those circumstances, God is all power, all knowledge, and is present everywhere. Therefore, it must be God. Only the Spirit has voice. Only the Spirit can speak. He created the instrument for its own self-expression. Nothing else could create this instrument. No one has ever seen the Father, but the Father is revealed in the Son. Are you beginning to see the truth of these words? There is a lot of nonsense talk about meditation by those who know little or nothing about it, for their own meditation leads to illusion. If you follow a system, you will condition the mind. Therefore, the mind will be bound and not free. Only the mind that is free can discover truth, and not a mind that is conditioned according to any system. I am sure that you have found that out by now. And if you do not know how to meditate, it is better that you do not know than follow some particular system or follow the ideas of another in meditation. And what are you meditating upon anyway? Some people will say, I'm meditating upon God. Well, to meditate, you must meditate on something you know, but you do not know what God is, so therefore you're meditating on an illusion. If you know what you are doing, your meditation will show you. Your meditating really should be the dissolving of everything that is hindering the expression of the Spirit that is beyond mind, the Spirit that is truth. If you then can discern in your thought, in your mind, everything that's preventing true meditation, which is the expression of reality, then you have found the method for meditation. And the method is not my method. And another person's method is not your method. You must find it for yourselves. To follow any particular method or any particular idea of another in meditation is not meditation. It's but forcing your mind into a groove where it becomes conditioned. To discover the truth, the mind must be free and not conditioned according to a system. Surely you can see this. When you understand the process of the mind, you will see that there can be no freedom through the discipline of any system. Is it not so that your mind clings to systems, to beliefs, to particular formulas which you endeavor to follow and perpetuate, with the result that you are more bound than before? Real meditation is to discover what is beyond the mind, not to follow a particular pattern which prevents the mind from understanding. Therefore, if you follow a particular pattern of meditation, can the mind understand? Of course it cannot understand. Can you understand and discern the self in all its ways? If you follow a particular pattern, if you follow a particular system in your meditation, if you can see that you are caught up in a system and become aware of the process by which the mind is caught up in a system, when you observe this, that is meditation. Meditation is the means we use to free the mind from the conditioning of any system, belief, or formula, or tradition, or dogma, or religion, or anything else the mind is bound with. If you feel that you want a formula, a belief, a system to follow, then you can never be free. In freedom alone is there true creativeness, and the mind must be clear, free from all beliefs and conditioning. Then you can create pure thought, yet you must not be caught up in your thought or the manifestation, for this again will be a prison of your own making. If you follow a formula, if you follow an idea, and you think that by following a system or an idea, as you're going to find truth, you're going away from it. A memory is not truth. What is in your mind is not truth. Truth cannot be formulated in the mind because it is beyond your mind. It is not an idea. I've told you so often. I'm trying to make it plainer and plainer. And these words of mine, being relative words, are leading you to that which is not relative. The only way I can explain to you to reach truth is to explain the relative, which in itself is an illusion. And to show you the illusion in your own minds, then by discerning the illusion, you will find the truth beyond it. Because the truth is not in mind. The truth cannot be formulated. You can't find the truth in a dogma. You can't find truth in following any system. Truth is. And it's only in that split second that you find truth, that split second, that creativeness that exists beyond mind. And that renewal of that split second continuously is truth. When that split second is past, it is but a memory, it is but a belief, it is but an experience. But a memory, an experience, and a belief is not truth. Truth is a livingness now that is eternal. That is why I do not allow any strangers into these classes. And I've told all students before that they will not be allowed to bring any stranger into these classes unless they get permission to do so. You are by invitation here and by no other way. And I want to make clear to the students that no one is to be allowed or to be brought into these classes except the given special permission to do so. You can well understand what I mean. You have traveled a considerable distance already, and the ordinary individual is not capable of understanding. The ordinary mind can easily pass any examinations, because any fool can pass an examination. But it takes the quality of mind to understand what we are driving at. A quality of mind. It is something that is unique in its way. And therefore, you are being taught a certain way so that you will reach that which is within you by your own way, not my way. I don't want you to repeat my words or to believe anything I tell you. And what I tell you is truth, because what I tell you is not truth. I can't tell you what truth is. No one can tell you what truth is. I can only tell you what's in your mind and how to find out the things that are hindering truth from manifesting in your life. And anyone can tell you what truth is, you know very well that there's nothing at all about it. But to be aware of the whole process of thinking is self-knowledge, which leads to freedom. Therefore, meditation, rightly speaking, is a means to freedom. Meditation is the beginning of self-knowledge. By merely focusing your mind on an idea, an image, or a phrase, and excluding all other thoughts. In this way, you may learn to concentrate, but this concentration is exclusion, and when the mind excludes, it is not free. Without knowing the process of your own thinking, and to merely sit in a corner and meditate is not meditation. That gives freedom and creativeness, for this needs clarity of mind. And how can you clear your mind? By discerning all that is in it. You think what you have in your mind is true, but when new knowledge comes along, you will change your views. That's this to say, if your mind is pliable. But if your mind is not pliable, then you are a fool, because your mind is concrete, and when new knowledge comes along, you can't take it in. A mind that is free is pliable. A mind that is rigid is impliable. Therefore, an impliable mind is a mind of a fool. The pliable mind is the mind of a genius. Have you ever made your mind quiet by focusing on an image, an idea, to the exclusion of all else, and been successful in doing so? Is it not so that other thoughts rise to create a conflict? Can there ever be the quiet in the midst of a conflict in the mind? I think not. How can you have a quiet mind when your mind is in conflict? If your mind is in conflict, you will discern the fact that it is in conflict. If you are living in the world of opposites, your mind must be in conflict. If you're living in the mind of good and evil, success and failure, faith and fear, and health or ill health, or any of these opposites, your mind will be in conflict. If you have a belief towards a particular thing, and another person has a belief towards the same thing, then your minds will be in conflict. There can be no truth in conflict. There can be no quiet in a mind that is in conflict. It's an utter impossibility. If you then try to focus your mind upon an idea, while other ideas try to rise into the consciousness, and you try to suppress those ideas to the exclusion of this one idea, you haven't a clear mind. Your mind is in conflict. You can never find the truth in that way. You might be able to concentrate and suppress those ideas, but you will never know what truth is through concentration, because concentration is not truth. I hope I am making myself plain to you, because I am trying to clear the mind, so that if when your mind is really clear, you will find truth, and you will know what right meditation is. But you can only find it when the mind is quiet, when the mind is clear. Therefore, true meditation is clearing the mind of all that is preventing truth from manifesting in its wholeness and completeness. Yet, can there ever be the quiet in the midst of conflict in the mind? I think not. Yet this is what you do when you try to focus your mind on an image or an idea in the practice of a so-called system. Is it not so that you spend your energy in this wasteful battle of conflict and gain nothing in the end? What have you gained with your meditation? Tell me. Nothing. Any idea you have of God, you've brought into your own prison. The prison you made for yourselves, and the idea you bring into your prison, and it is with you in your prison. If an idea of God is going to be any value to you at all, it is not in your own prison, but in the freedom of truth. You may produce a mental picture or some kind of illusion, but this is not the meditation that leads to freedom and the discovery of that which is beyond mind, which alone is creative. Do you understand what creativeness really means? Not until you have touched creativeness itself can you know what creativeness really means. I can't tell you it, I can't put it into words. Because if I tried to formulate it, it would not be creativeness. If I tried to formulate truth, it would not be truth. If you can open to each thought as it arises, and understanding, then the mind will not revert to any particular thought. It only reverts to a thought when it is not understood. That which is not understood is repeated over and over again, and the mere exclusion will not prevent it. To try and exclude it from your consciousness will not prevent it rising to your consciousness while you're trying to meditate on another idea. The mind is made up, so peculiarly, along the lines of association. I can repeat 1,000 words, one after another, and after I have repeated the 1,000 words, I'll begin at that 1,000 word and go back to number 1 word again. And I will not miss one, because every word I will say will be a link between the word and the next one. The line of association in your mind will draw everything up to the source. It is just like a cone that you may have, and all your thoughts is in your mind. All your memories, all your experiences is in your mind. They're linked up together. And when one rises to the surface, you become conscious of it. It comes out from the consciousness, and you become conscious of it. That consciousness of that thought brings the next thing that is in line of association with it. And each thought rising up, one after another, will pour out the consciousness because they're all linked together with association. There's various ways of association, hundreds of ways of association. Different words have association with another. There's the association of opposites, the association of automatic connection between one thing and another. As you would say, kettle, steam, fire, coal, mine, miner, man, so forth. And you could go on that all the time. The next thing you go back over these and remember every one of them, even if you could not remember one in the ordinary way, because they're all tied together with association. Now, in your meditation, you're meditating a particular thing. While you're meditating upon that particular idea, hundreds of things are rising to the consciousness and trying to get up through your consciousness through a line of association. Then you try to exclude all these to this one particular idea, and you say you are meditating rubbish. So therefore, if you don't understand the thought, it will come up again and again. What is happening to you in the practice of a system is self-isolation. But the mind can never be free through isolation, however wide your idea may be. Therefore, this kind of meditation is only a process of self-isolation, self-enclosure, in which you carry your private memories, your private experiences, which are not understood. Can the mind ever be free with this conditioning? I think not. Can your mind ever be free with certain conditioning which you created yourselves? And you try to isolate yourself from this conditioning? You try to hide away from this conditioning? This conditioning must be understood. It must be seen clearly for what it is. And when you understand it, then you will be free from it. That is meditation. You can host your mind into a state of self-hypnosis by constant repetition of words. But if the mind is hypnotized into quietness, that is not meditation. This only dulls the mind. And when this state ends, the conditioning is made more apparent. Is it not that the mind must be free from conditioning before true understanding is arrived at? If then your mind is conditioning, your thoughts are according to your conditioning. You think according to your condition. You think according to your dogma. You think according to your creed. You think according to what you have built into your mind. And that's your expression, according to your conditioning, according to your education, according to your particular individuality, according to your nationality, according to your school, according to your school tie, according to your political beliefs, according to all this damn conditioning you have that's hiding the true expression of that which is real. Don't you see that you are just expressing not truth, but you are expressing your thoughts according to your conditioning, which is not truth? If I can clarify your minds, then you'll understand what meditation really means. You think that you must discipline your mind to be free, but freedom can never come through discipline, for the beginning determines the end. But if we can understand the whole process of discipline, control, suppression, substitution, sublimation, then there will be freedom from the very beginning. If all the means and the end are one, they are not two separate processes in conflict with one another. So if your beginning is contraction and discipline, your end will be discipline too. But if your beginning is freedom and the method you use is leading to freedom, then the end will be freedom too. Therefore, concentration through discipline is not meditation. Nor are the various forms of prayer we hear from every side of religion in separation. The mind that is forced to still through will or desire can never be free, for that mind will not understand itself and will be caught up in the illusion and its own condition. Search into your own minds now at this very moment and see how you are conditioned. But if we can discern all these things, including concentration and all the systems of meditation and all the various tricks that we learn to quieten, to hypnotize the mind, we'll discover that there are the ways of the self. Then this discovery is the beginning of meditation, for we shall no longer be caught up in them to be bound by them. So we see that meditation is nothing else than freeing the mind from conditioning, so that that which is real and true shall manifest itself. If you begin to know the ways of the self, your thoughts, by being impersonally aware of yourself, looking at yourself in your relationship to others and things, in your talking, etc., as you would observe somebody else, there, in that awareness, the echoing of your conditioned state is observed. If, for instance, you get the habit of looking at another individual, and you can see how this individual is conditioned by his thoughts, by his ideas, by his education, by his beliefs, by his tradition, by his nationality, by his political beliefs. If you can discern the other individual, how he is conditioned, turn that observation on yourselves and see how you are conditioned. And by discerning how you're conditioned, you will know the self. And self-knowledge is the beginning of meditation. Therefore, you must observe without condemnation, without judgment, without fear, free from such conditioning. If then you discern your condition, and you are fearful of your condition, and you be judging your condition, then you are held and bound by your condition. If you fear your conditioning, you cannot be free. You must discern this conditioning as you would observe another individual's condition. Therefore, you see that though you will no longer be caught up in your condition, but you will free the mind and free yourselves from these things that are always hindering the expression of reality itself. Therefore, meditation is to reach a state of mind where the mind is clarified and clear so that reality and truth itself can express itself in its completeness and wholeness, in its omnipotence, in its omniscience, and in its omnipresence. So it is without condemnation, without judgment, without fear, that you must discern this conditioning. In this, there is the discovery of yourself, as yourself. And the more you are aware of yourself without justifying or condemning, the more freedom is reached. In this freedom, where there is neither conflict nor illusion, is the process of meditation. The great truth is that when you have reached this divine state in your own mind, you see there is neither good nor evil, because neither good nor evil exists in that which is real. Good and evil exist in man's mind. It's what man thinks about things. I've told you before about the two trees in the Garden of Eden, which is a great example. The Garden of Eden is the garden of the soul. And there are two trees grow in the garden of the soul. The prophet says the one is the tree of life, and the one is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You're told not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because you will die in your sin, but to cling to the tree of life, and that will be your salvation. It will be as a spring of living water rising up to eternal life. Well, we see clearly that these two trees grow in man's soul. One is a tree of life that grows out of God. The other is a tree of good and evil that grows out of man's mind. It says then, do not eat the fruit of this tree that grows out of man's mind, but take hold of this tree of life that grows out of God, and that will be your salvation. You will rid yourself of this tree, which is the burden that man carries around with him all the time. His conflict of opposites, which is in his mind continually. You cannot cultivate freedom any more than you can cultivate love. Freedom comes into being, not through the search for it, but when you understand the whole structure of the self, with all its desires, its prejudices, its conditioning, its cherished illusions. When these are discerned and understood, they dissolve, and what remains is reality, the real self. Meditation is a discovery of the real self, not separate from other selves, but in that which is whole and complete, which is without conditioning of any kind. This is true meditation. You have prejudices. You're not free. If you are dependent, you're not free. If you're dependent upon another, there's no freedom. Why are you dependent upon another? Because you do not understand the truth that you are born free, and you are still free. Call no man your father on earth, because one is your father who is in heaven. Man is not born of the flesh and blood of man, nor by the will of man, but of the Spirit of God. When you see that your conditioned thought has a beginning and ending in the self, being the product of the mind in bondage, there is silence. Not the silence that is willed or the result of hypnotization, but a silence that is not of time. A silence that is of the timeless. In that silence, then, there is true mentors. It is the flowing of life, the timeless existence. When the mind is clarified, when it's not caught up in belief, caught up in dogma or creed, when it's not caught up in the intellect of man, it is free from all these things. Therefore, the timeless enters into the consciousness of man. That is meditation. In that silence, there is a state of creation, the timeless, which is reality, which is not conditioned by memories or experience, where conflict does not exist. So without understanding the ways of your conditioned thought, merely to force the mind to meditate is a mere waste of time and energy, which only creates more illusion. To know the way of the self, the thoughts of the self and bondage, is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom reveals itself when there is an understanding of the self and the thought of the self. To the thinker who does not understand himself, meditation has no meaning, because whatever you project is in accordance with your own conditioning, and that obviously is not reality. Surely this should be evident to you by now. Only when the self understands the whole process of its conditioned thought is there the capacity of being free, and only then does the timeless come into being. Meditation is the means, therefore the means and the result must be the same. The beginning must be the freeing of the self from all conditioning. That is the first process of your meditation. Otherwise, you can never be free. You meditate in your own prison, and you think you have freedom. Meditation is the means. Therefore, the means and the result must be the same. The beginning must be the freeing of the self from all conditioning, so that the result will be freedom, not further binding and illusion. Then, and then only, will come wisdom, love and understanding, which is true meditation. My intention in this lecture is to show the stream of creative life through the instrument it created for its own true expression, here and now, through the Trinity of Man, which is represented through the three centers in the head. This will have to wait till the next lesson. First of all, the mind must be cleansed and the way made clear for reality. Then we can deal better with relative appearances which are but effects. In the next lesson, then, we will deal with the triangle of the Trinity of Man that exists in himself as a means of the expression of life, which is known as the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It means the Father, which is free, the Son, whose life enters in to be conditioned by the Son, by his own thought and action. And the third is the activity of life through the whole of the body, which has been created before the Father and the Son. These are relative things, but to know this relative condition enables you to understand the mechanism, how the spirit acts through mind and body. And what I wanted to do tonight was to give you that expression. But when I started writing this lecture, I found myself on the idea of meditation, and I knew perfectly well that unless I give you this lecture, the following ones would not be clear, nor could you understand them if you kept your mind in the conditioned state. If you are conditioned by previous knowledge, deserve it. Don't hold it and bind yourself by it, but let the mind be pliable so that new knowledge will come, enter into your mind, and then you can be free. But if your mind is caught up in any idea which you believe to be true, and any other knowledge that comes forward, you disregard it, then I say you are the first essence of a fool. But if you then know clearly and distinctly that all knowledge is but a passing phase, and knowledge is not reality, knowledge is not reality. Wisdom is reality. And wisdom enables you to use knowledge for the betterment of yourself and mankind. Therefore, let love and wisdom be the two pillars upon which you will stand. That is the temple of man. That is the two pillars that you must enter before you can enter the great Sanhedrin. Therefore you will understand the temple of God is the temple of man. And on these two portals, on one side is one of love, and the other is the one of wisdom. These two you must pass through, and unless you can pass through these, all else is of no value to you, because knowledge is of no value unless there is wisdom. And wisdom is only complete when it has love as its guidance and directing. Love cannot be discerned. Love cannot be defined. Love is beyond mind. Love cannot be formed. Love is that which in itself is complete. It cannot be made up in the mind, nor can it be formulated. But it is your foundation. It is your life and my life. When we cleanse the mind that stands alone as the perfect creation of the universe, the foundation of the whole universal creation, then we then become part of it, participating and acting in the cosmic plan, fulfilling our true design that the Almighty created us for. Not for individual sense, but for the whole. The sense of the whole, not the sense of the individual. When he finds a single pearl of high price, he is off to sell all his possessions. He discards all the others, because there are many of them, but there is only one. It's a pearl beyond price, that is reality. Benediction. O Eternal One, in Thee alone is there true freedom. My mind became fouled by weeds when I stagnated in myself apart from Thee. But when I observed those weeds, I saw they were of my own creation. Yet in my ignorance, I tried to discard them. In many ways I tried and failed. Only when I came to see they were not of thee, but of me myself did I discover thee within me, free from all illusion. I no longer fear these weeds that clog my mind, for they were of my own creation, not thine, O Eternal One. I destroyed their growth by seeing how I had conditioned myself. Then they died in me, never to appear anymore. I thank thee, O Blessed One, that I have discovered thee. Now I am free. This is my meditation, O Eternal Beloved.